This recording is part of a series of podcasts in which the novel Dear Yoni is read aloud chapter by chapter by the author Lisa Picard. Please note that Dear Yoni contains sexually explicit language and scenes of a sexual nature. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18.
Hi, dear listener. Last week, we read about Jess diving into the sacred waters of Amrita. And this week, her journey continues. Enjoy. Chapter 19, Connecting the Dots. I was attending an online webinar about raising the Kundalini. During the past few months of exploration into Tantra and sacred sexuality, I had often heard the term raising the Kundalini bandied around. I was really curious as to what this could possibly mean for me in finally attaining the experience that I had dreamed about all those many months before. Today was my chance to find out. The webinar was presented by a beautiful young tantrika who was positively radiant and glowing with energy and enthusiasm. Looking at her cemented my resolve to raise my own kundalini energy, seeing as it resulted in the visibly desirable outcome on the screen before me. But of course, things are never quite that simple, are they now? So firstly, what is kundalini? Well, apparently it is our fundamental life force energy. So it is our eros, or that which animates us and keeps us alive. Although I had encountered that concept over and over again during my journey, and had indeed learned to raise that energy and move it around in my body, there was an added element to this knowledge that now landed for me. Apparently, only a small portion of our energy is awakened in order to live a normal life, and most people live out their entire lives only partly alive and partly awake. However, there are many dormant layers of energy which can be consciously awakened. Although sometimes when one has reached a sufficiently high level of consciousness, these energies may awaken spontaneously. As the Kundalini fully awakens and rises up, it creates an increase in our consciousness, ultimately leading to an experience of unity consciousness and finally enlightenment. So we're talking here about attaining enlightenment through the body and through sexuality. Once again, I was struck by how different this approach is to the traditional monotheistic religious approach in which the body is ignored and denied and our sexuality repressed in order to try and achieve redemption or acceptance by an all-judging God. Somehow, the tantric way just felt much more loving and far more natural to me. Surely, if we have been created by some higher power, then the entirety of our being needs to be accepted and loved and integrated on our journey towards unity consciousness. How can we become fully conscious if parts of ourselves are negated or rejected as somehow wrong or shameful? The presenter explained the tantric view, which is that God consciousness, presence, or Shiva, as it is called in the Hindu tradition, is manifest as pure energy. When this pure potential energy is solidified into matter, this is called Shakti or form. These are the divine masculine and feminine aspects, which have very little to do with whether we are currently inhabiting a male or a female body. We all have both masculine and feminine aspects within ourselves. Enlightenment is achieved when your own inner Shiva is united with your own inner Shakti. It is a similar idea to that of the alchemical wedding or the divine union of the Western tradition, in which the masculine and feminine elements combine into one. This leads to transcendence out of this duality reality and into unity consciousness. In Tantra, sexual desire is transmuted and sublimated from the lower chakras to the higher chakras in order to obtain this experience. The Kundalini was traditionally represented as a snake that was sleeping, coiled in the base or root chakra, which is situated in the perineum of the body. This snake or dormant energy would be awoken through the raising of the sexual energy. Actually, there were two aspects to the snake portrayed, the feminine, or Ida, and the masculine, or Pingala. When the masculine and feminine energy of an individual were in balance, these snakes would arise from the base chakra, crossing each other at each chakra as they coiled up the central energy channel in the body, also called the Sushumna. This process was said to balance the chakras, release karma, and open the crown chakra to cosmic consciousness. The successful raising of the Kundalini would release the impact of old actions on your life. When the Ida and Pingala finally united in divine union, unity consciousness would result. Apparently, raising the Kundalini awakens you to your true self, beyond the illusory self of the persona. It brings you present here and now to total openness, deep relaxation, and activation of the brain, and leads to a feeling of complete bliss and pleasure. Some say this is a preview of God. Every cell and organ, every system of the body begins to vibrate to the highest version of itself. This is true authenticity, as the armor of the persona drops away. Kundalini is depicted as fire that burns away the small ego self. It also resolves karma and turns it into our dharma, which is our true nature or our path. Or a better way to say this would be that our dharma is our ultimate purpose in this reality. To quote our beautiful presenter, the question is, how do I become the most perfect manifestation of the divine within? This really resonated with me, as it was a very similar question to the one that had been on my mind for several months now, since I had accepted that I was actually on a spiritual journey. This question was, how do I access, via my body and my sexuality, my most divine self? And how do I express this divine self in this reality? It definitely felt like I was on track to finding the answer to these questions in this webinar, and so I listened with eager attention, waiting for the how-to part of the presentation. However, I was to be disappointed, as there didn't seem to be any quick fix to raising the Kundalini. In fact, the presenter cautioned that one should never push or rush the process, as it was powerful and life-altering. However, she did begin to outline the steps to be followed that could eventually lead to the awakening of the Kundalini, if the person was ready for this to happen. Apparently, there are three main ways in which the Kundalini could awaken, namely pranayama, or breathwork, chanting of a mantra, or meditation upon an object. And often, these practices could take years before they delivered results. In addition, one needed to take care of your diet and health and to cleanse the physical system. Then there were also the daily practices to be done, which included emotional clearing, focusing on the breath, becoming more aware of sensation, purging all blockages, and learning to move energy around the body. One would need to learn to cultivate energy, circulate energy around the body, and sublimate energy, which meant raising the base energy of the sexuality and moving it up the body into the higher chakras, where it would vibrate at an ever finer frequency. Of course, much of this I already knew and had been practicing for months now, but I certainly hadn't yet had the spiritual experience of the Kundalini rising to bring me into a state of unity consciousness. But an awakened guru can awaken your Kundalini just by touching your root chakra. The Kundalini will awaken all the way to the third eye chakra, but the final journey of the energy to the crown chakra requires a leap of faith into the abyss, or complete surrender. This can happen through trust, devotion, or madness. By this point of the webinar, I was thoroughly disillusioned. I certainly didn't know any awakened gurus who could help me to awaken my Kundalini. All of this sounded like a whole lot of hard work, and rather more on the woo-woo side of the continuum than I was currently comfortable with. Devotion or madness didn't sound like me at all, and even trust was something that I still had to work on every single day. But then the presenter ended the theoretical part of her presentation, and gave us a taste of the practices required to raise the Kundalini. She told us that we would need to practice being present and relaxed and let go of the goal, but to stay open to what might arise. Even if the Kundalini didn't arise at this time, there would always be gifts of greater awareness, presence, and insight in the process. She reminded us to continue to relax and to lean into the feelings, and as always in Tantra, to actively pursue breath, sound, and movement to move energy in the body. The practice started as the presenter guided us into doing a few microcosmic orbits in which the energy is circulated up the back of the spine and down the front of the body. I had encountered this practice several times before on my journey, and I was by now accustomed to the sensation of energy moving in my body. Then we did a few deep heart breaths to open the heart. This practice too was very familiar to me. After this, we did shaking of the entire body, whilst sounding, followed by thrusting and breathing and sounding, just as I had done before in the very first Tantra workshop I had completed. Only standing up this time, rather than lying down. We ended off by sending an energy fountain up over the entire body to flow over and cover over the entire aura. At the end of all of this, I was certainly feeling very open and expanded and energized. In fact, I felt wonderful, but definitely not experiencing the spiritual transcendence that the presenter had spoken of. Perhaps I needed to practice for a few more years before I eventually reached that place. Perhaps it wasn't about achieving a goal, but rather about the process of engaging with one's own spiritual growth along the journey. A wonderful new experience started happening for me round about this time. One night, as I was lying in bed, struggling to fall asleep, I began to do a form of body meditation which I had encountered during an online workshop. Instead of the very familiar meditation technique of focusing on the breath and simply observing my thoughts, I began to shift my attention to the inside of my body. I started to feel what my body felt like from deep inside, and I began to focus my breath to the inside of my body too, as I moved my energy and attention into the back of my body. This is a deeply feminine practice, a practice of leaning back, of receiving and surrendering, whereas most of our lives we are living in the masculine mode of leaning forward, chasing the next sensation, the next thought, the next action, or the next experience. This body meditation led to a deep feeling of relaxation and letting go, and a wonderful sensation of expansion. I became very aware of the beating of my heart throughout every fiber of my body, of the movement of fluids in my body, of my breath and my energy streaming throughout my being. There was a powerful sensation of sinking into deep density, overflowing with intense vibrational aliveness. As I surrendered even further and sank even deeper, I gradually became aware of a subtle vibration in every single tissue and every single cell of my body. Leaning into this vibration, I began to experience an unbelievable sensation of ecstatic bliss expanding throughout every part of my being. The more I relaxed and surrendered, the more the vibration increased in my body, the more the bliss expanded. Wave upon wave of incredibly intense joy and ecstasy rolled over my body. Every time I started to question what I was feeling, or if I tried to mentally analyze my experience, I would rise up out of the bliss. The way to remain in that wondrous state of being was to choose to remain inside of my body, inside of and surrender to the physical sensations. It felt as if I was connected to all of life. The boundaries of my own body melted away, and I began to feel as if I was part of the ever-flowing stream of life, part of the holding ground of love that interpenetrates all of our existence. It felt so perfectly safe and comfortable and natural, so connected and deeply, ultimately intimate, so blissful, so beautiful. Tears began streaming down my face as I bathed in a deep sense of gratitude, awe, and wonder. To think that this amazing experience is, quite literally, just a breath away at any given moment. Day 26. Dear Yoni, the day after our incredible experience of feeling so connected to all of life, I did a bit of research to try and make sense of it all. I discovered that the vibration that we had been experiencing was called spanda in Sanskrit and was well known to tantrikas and yogis. Who would have thought? I just happened on it by chance. Spanda is considered to be the pulsing, ecstatic vibration of supreme consciousness, or of the goddess, which is how we prefer to see it. This is the energy that flows through all and that manifests in everything that we see around us. So our experience had actually been a direct, personal experience of the goddess. No wonder it had felt so blissful. Over the next few weeks, we made a practice of regularly connecting with this divine vibration. Once again, as it happened so many times during this journey, I was amazed at how much pleasure, bliss, and joy is so easily accessible to us at all times. We don't have to spend hours on our knees desperately praying for salvation, or denying ourselves pleasure, or degrading and ignoring our bodies to access the divine. All we have to do is to surrender to what is right here, just a breath away. Our own true divine nature, our birthright. Day 27. Dear Yoni, what an incredible journey we have been on together during the past 3 years. I have released so much emotional baggage and so many energetic blockages that were holding me back in my intimate relationships and in my life in general. And I have learned so many new skills and new techniques and new ways of being in the world and of interacting with others. I've found real love of and appreciation for my body, and I've learned so much about what sexual energy is and how to sublimate it in order to reach higher states of consciousness. My sexuality and my spirituality have really integrated into one creative, expressive, enlivening force. However, there's one experience that remains elusive. This is to have a conscious sexual encounter with another person. The dream I had over a year ago remains my guiding light. This is what I want to experience. The complete vulnerability and openness. The complete seeing of another and being seen in return. The experience of my higher self and that of my partner dancing together in the act of lovemaking. The accessing of higher states of consciousness through the act of love. These experiences all still remain elusive. This will be my final graduation ceremony, where I will apply all of the learning and all of the new skills I have gained to finally experience the type of sex that I have always known was possible, but has always been so elusive. As an aside, I've been reading about polarity in sex. In Tantra, one partner will always embody the divine feminine polarity, and one partner the divine masculine. This is irrespective of the gender of the partners, as we all have an inner masculine and an inner feminine. However, in heterosexual interactions, it is traditional for the woman to take the polarity of the feminine and for the man to take the polarity of the masculine. And certainly, I am drawn to experiencing sex from the feminine polarity. The feminine, or Shakti polarity, is the creative or sexual energy from the lower chakras, and the masculine or Shiva polarity is from the upper three chakras. To weave them together is Tantra. These two polarities are attracted to each other like magnets. The resultant union can be one of consciousness and bliss. It is seen in Tantra as really important to maintain this polarity, as it provides the fire and the magic of the interaction. And, ironically, all the things that we do in order to create a home, a living, and a family together with our life partners actually reduce this polarity. And then we wonder why the magic just seems to dissipate out of our relationships after a while. I've even read about tantric practitioners going to some rather unusual extremes to maintain polarity with their long-term partners. Things such as sleeping apart, maintaining their own separate lives, even eating different foods so as to maximize the chemistry between them when they do get together to have sex. I'm not sure about all of this for myself, but I certainly did experience the rapid dwindling of the magic between James and myself once we had moved in together and had started creating a home and a life together. I think that most couples do experience this, so perhaps there is something to be considered in this notion after all. So, my dearest Yoni, what are we actually looking for in a partner? Given the necessity of maintaining polarity, and the fact that I've discovered over the past few months that I really do enjoy living alone, and being able to sleep stretched out like a starfish every night, I've decided that I'm looking for the following. A tantric lover with whom I can regularly experience a very deep and very intimate connection. This interaction will be about bringing together the divine masculine and feminine energies to ignite, between the two of us, divine consciousness. This will be a portal to ever-increasing self-realization, ecstatic bliss, powerful healing and release, and growing together on a path of mutual exploration. Some of the tools we will apply together will include mindfulness, breathwork, sounding, movement, and raising our energy up to the higher chakras. I can see our lovemaking being a sort of puja or a devotional ceremony. So all of this is very esoteric and a bit idealistic possibly, but still, a part of me really hopes that it may be possible to create this experience. So dear Yoni, I have decided to enter the dating game again, but not from a normal dating site this time. I've definitely decided that's a complete waste of time. No, my dearest, I've discovered a newly launched dating app for tantric lovers. Amazing. Just as I'm ready to find my tantric lover, the path opens before me. So I've created a profile, and I've begun chatting to a few potential candidates. Who knows? My beloved may be just around the corner. I bet you can't wait to find out what happens next, dear listener. Join me next time for the final installment, the final podcast reading of this book. See you then. Bye.